one here, the rowdies one there, they kick the ball around. The rowdies one here, the rowdies one there, then they fall on the ground.
Oh, the rowdies, the rowdies, the rowdies are
the pig in the grass.
Here's another reason why WISL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, Sam Monjovi, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer Mr. Zero Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsford and brought to you by the following sponsors. The Rochester Rhinos, the Rochester Lancers, and Western New York Flash, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Salen's Meat Products, Dr. Frank Grayson Chiropractor, Faber Homes, New Way Auto Parts, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti. Thanks for joining us tonight. We'll be talking about the huge World Cup qualifying matches coming up tomorrow, including a must-win contest for the U.S. against Jamaica taking place at Crew Stadium. I know many Rochester fans are going to be making the six-hour trip to Columbus to watch the United States in action, a sold-out game, between 25,000 fans for the United States. We'll also be looking back at the Rhinos season with President and COO Pat Erkley. And here's our host right now, our Joe Sirianni and fellow co-host Sam Monjovi. Before that, we want to wish our deep condolences to Joe. His sister in Italy passed away, and we're all praying for you, Joe, and your whole family.
Thank you very much, Andrew. And it is with a sad heart that I'm talking right now because with the passing of my sister. And thank to all the people that have shown their sympathy to my family, and but anyway, we're here to talk about soccer, and it is with somewhat of apprehensive that I have realized that soccer is over in Rochester and the outdoor season, but I'm sort of encouraged because the indoor season is upon us, and we're going to be able to see soccer played in indoor. And Sam Fantuzzo, of course, is the owner and one of the owners of, the principal guy behind indoor soccer in Rochester. And I want to congratulate him on being able to work out with War Memorial Blue Cross Arena dates that are available for us to go see soccer. And, we're going to talk a little bit about soccer in Rochester. We're going to talk about the State of the Union of Soccer in Rochester with Pat Erkley and amongst ourselves, of course. And we will continue to talk soccer in Soccer Kick at the Grass and the national, local, and everything. So here
we are. You mentioned the Lancers, Joe, and the Lancers schedule was announced last week. So let's, by the way, we are back live. If you didn't know that, last week we did a tape show for Labor Day, but we're back on live now. So,
well, talking about that 6-hour drive, I just want to thank our show sponsor, Tony Diuto at Top Notch Monogramming, for being very nice to get a ticket for me for the game tomorrow and driving over there. Hopefully, I'm sitting in the back seat. Although I'll help if I need to. But.
So next Monday, Sam, you'll be able to give your eyewitness account of the U.S.'s big victory over the Reggae Boys.
I hope so.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk more about that with Dick Howard. Of course, Canada is playing in Panama tomorrow, another very huge game, and a lot of interesting things happening down in Panama related to the Canadian national team. We'll get to that in a little while, but the Lancers opened the season for 2012. On Saturday, November 3rd, in Syracuse against the Silver Knights. And I'm sure Joe and Sam and I will probably be making the trek down the thruway to see that opening match. The home opener is Saturday, November 10th at 7 p.m. at the Blue Cross Arena against the new team in the MISL this year, the Chicago Soul, S-O-U-L, like soul music.
Interesting. Right. Good to see a new team in there. We know Norfolk dropped out, but it's good to see Chicago coming in.
So it's a 7-team league, and it will be a single table league this year in the MISL. So the top four teams will make the playoffs. So Lancers again looking to go back to the playoffs after they made the playoffs last year and lost a heartbreaking series to the Baltimore Blast.
I think the six-man table is a better.
It is. I mean, a seven-team league, yeah.
Yeah, like last year when we were watching, it was kind of difficult, don't you think? It's the two divisions. It's just, would we have three teams?
Three teams in the West and four in the East.
Yeah, the single table's you're fighting the one through four. So, I mean, and then it's a small enough number of teams where every game's going to count even towards the end of the season.
Right. So the Lancers are going to be front-loading many of their home games in November, December. So the Lancers will be home for four dates in a row. November 17th, Baltimore comes back to town. No love lost between those two teams. Day before Thanksgiving, with all the kids, all the college students home, kids off from school, Lancers will play Chicago once again. Then Saturday, the 1st of December, Missouri Comets come to town. Then around the Christmas time, you got the 15th, the 22nd, both Saturdays, Wichita, Syracuse coming in during the holiday break. The 27th of December, Milwaukee Wave, the defending champs, come in, along with the Baltimore Blast returning on New Year's Day, a 4 p.m. kickoff. And then January, February, early February, Lancers will be on the road much of the time. They will be playing Syracuse on the 12th of January, and the 27th of January, Missouri comes into town for a 1 p.m. kickoff. And then right around the President's Day and winter break holiday, you've got Syracuse on the 16th at 1 p.m. on President's Day, 7 p.m. Monday, the February 18th against Wichita. I'm sure we'll be there broadcasting our show live that day. And then the 24th, the final game, we'll be hosting the Milwaukee Wave on the 24th. So,
you know, against Milwaukee, I'm still a little nervous just because of what kind of dominating team they were last year. But with Baltimore, I'm a little more encouraged because I believe I heard that their keeper is no longer with them. And how do you pronounce his name again?
Sagu. Rex with the favorite old pasta sauce.
Ragu.
Like a ragu.
That's right.
So, and, you know, I saw him in Baltimore and saw him in Rochester, and he just was an amazing keeper in both ways, and I think that's only going to help us, help the Lancers out with him not being there.
He jumped leagues, by the way. He went over to the competition, the PASO.
Oh, he did.
In Dallas this year, so it's going to be a...
People go where the money is.
Yeah, hey, he's right. Sagu, and he's with that guy that plays in Dallas with that nickname, too. Who's that Spanish player? I don't think he plays anymore. Tattoo. So
right.
Sagu and Tattoo.
Yeah, the guy who always took off his jersey. He can't do that anymore. He'd be getting red carded every match. But anyway, so we'll be talking more Lancer stuff as the weeks go on, getting more information about the team and what's going to be going on, the special promotions and things. You know that the Lancers, they always come up with some very unique things for all the fans, so we'll have more about that as we move along toward the opener on the 3rd in Syracuse, and then the home opener on the 10th at the Blue Cross Arena against Chicago.
And we will have Sam on the radio so he can explain in a little bit more in detail his objective and his goals for the 2012-2013 season.
Absolutely.
And win it all.
That's about it.
You know, and all the promotion, and the players, whatever he's got to say.
Well, I think the Lancers last year, they were a couple players away from competing with the Baltimore and Milwaukee. So it's very interesting. I haven't heard anything, but I'd like to see.
The one move is that Andrew Hoxie will not be back.
Oh,
he'll be going to Wichita to
that's
be
unfortunate.
With his family. So
that's a loss, I believe.
That's a big loss for the Lancers. But I'm sure that, you know, the wheels are turning over in the Lancer office to get some new players back in and some young talent, maybe some veteran talent. We'll see what happens.
Hey, I heard Hector Marinero is available to play.
I'm sure he is. He probably could still play at this level. But anyway, let's a couple of congratulations you want to send out. The Charleston Battery are the 2012 USL Pro Champions. They beat Wilmington 1-0 on Saturday. That's in four championship matches that Charleston has played in, they've won all four.
What a wild league. I mean, while we were watching the Rhinos game against Charleston, we were checking our Twitter accounts. We saw Wilmington up 1-0 against Orlando, 2-0 against Orlando, 3-0. Finally, a 4-3 win, but they're up 4-1. But wow, and then so I was like, oh my God, Wilmington must just be on a roll, being up 4-1 against Orlando, seeing them play. And then Charleston beats them 1-0, so it's pretty.
Orlando bit the dust, as you could say. They just came out and they played terrible in that semifinal. They were flat. They just could not do anything on offense. Wilmington came out and dominated that whole match. It was not 4-3 is not a reflection of how that match went. It was totally dominated by Wilmington. So, but Charleston came out and won the title. So congratulations to Andrew Bell and the Battery.
Well, We'll be talking with Pete about the Charleston defeat, you know, with the Rockets.
Yes, but we also want to congratulate the U.S. Under-20 women winning the World Cup in Japan. Tremendous result. They beat Germany 1-0 after losing to Germany in the group stage pretty significantly. So Steve Sampson, the Under-20 coach, what a great result. So the women, they've got some great young talent that's going to come into the World Cup probably in 2015.
Is that the coach, Steve Sampson, former men's team coach? Wow. I did not know that.
And, of course, we were privileged to have the Olympic team in Rochester.
What a great
talk about that, too.
That was fantastic. And Pat, I'm sure, was very happy with the crowd. I think there was a lot more people there than 13,000, whatever it was. That was the announced crowd, just like the Lancers announced 20,005 back in 1977.
They give the right number to the fire marshal.
I think that's probably the key.
You know, Uncle Joe, I got to give you kudos because you've always been talking about women's soccer. And women's soccer for the United States is exactly where we want the men's soccer to be, or hopefully be, because not only are the women's team, the USA team, winning on the
high. Swanson is the coach.
Oh, okay.
I made a mistake.
Oh, okay.
My fault.
I was going to say. But on the upper level, the national team level, the senior, they're winning, and they're winning the under 20 tournaments, at least they're very competitive now, winning them. With our men's, as we're going to talk about, our men's team is struggling right now. Now that we didn't make the Olympics last time, and we always seem to falter. It was recently in the other under 20.
Well, I had a chance to watch that U.S. match, and boy, when the U.S. went up 1-0 in the after 38 seconds through Clint Dempsey, I thought, you know, this is a
yeah, me too. Goal. I thought too. That I was thinking
and
the same thing.
A lucky goal that Jamaica got off a free kick that was deflected by Kyle Beckerman, sending Tim Howard the wrong way.
But one thing you got to admit, after they scored their goal, I don't know what it did to Jamaica, but it kind of renewed their confidence.
Right.
They started dominating the game. And I know we're going to talk about what's going on with the U.S. men's national team, but Jamaica just was really taking it to us. And
well, the office, as they call their national stadium, is one of the most difficult places for any team to play. I mean, Mexico has lost to Jamaica in the office, so this is it's much like, Joe, the Howler Stadium that the Beckenbauer once called the cow pasture.
The cow pasture.
The grass looked a lot better, though, I got to say, on the Jamaican.
It was very bumpy, though. Yeah. The Jamaicans are used to playing in that. They're going to be playing in Cruz Stadium with their meticulous pitch. It's going to be a lot different result, I think, on Tuesday. And it better be, because the U.S. needs to win this match. And we'll talk more about that. But we want to get one more note in before we go to break. Alessandro Del Piero, one of our favorite players.
Hero.
What a shock.
Coming to the Rhinos next year.
Let me just say this.
Sydney FC.
Yeah, let me say this, that Alessandro Del Piero, from what I read in an Italian newspaper, and his statement, he said that he wants to, much of what Pelé did in this country, to go to Australia and promote soccer in there. He's going to be one of the first that has gone to Australia, from an international fame. And he's making good money. He's got a one-year contract. He's bringing everybody with him. They're making him feel at home. They're making the population of Sydney and Melbourne and all the places where they play, they already in awe of him going over there. It's a league endeavor as well as a Sydney team. So, and a lot of good things going to happen from that.
Well, Joe, if people don't know, Joe has relatives in Australia, so
exactly.
We need to, you've got to get in touch with them and get some reports on play in Melbourne against the two clubs,
definitely.
Victory and Heart. What kind of, I mean, they're just going to pack the place. It's like when Beckham came to the United States.
I tell you, I was at the stadium when I went to Australia to see my brother. I was at the stadium in Melbourne where they played. Fantastic venue. You cannot imagine. And even then, they packed the house. People, like the supporter group that we got over here, people sit behind the goal. They never sit behind the goal. They always stood up and they chanted all the time. I mean, the atmosphere was superb. Much like, when we had the women national team here, only 100 times better.
Well, that's great because I think they do need some help in Australia because I think the league's been suffering a little bit there with attendance. So somebody like Del Piero, I think Devin's going to bring people out. I'm guessing he's going to have like kind of the Beckham effect
over
there.
Yeah, so I was waiting for you to say that magic word.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the big reason, too, that they know he's going to...
You noticed I said the Pelé thing.
Yeah, I know you did. I didn't miss that. But of course, Australia is a very international country. They have people from all over the world.
A lot of Asian people.
A lot of Italians live there. Asian people, Chinese or Japanese. So he's a world-renowned player, one of the best ever to play the game. And this is going to be very interesting to see what happens down in Australia.
Which is probably part of the reason, too, that their attendance has been struggling, because when you talk about a lot of international people down there, they're soccer savvy. And similar to the problems you have here, a lot of people here are watching the Champions League. We grew up watching sophisticated soccer in Australia, too. I think I don't even know if they're at the MLS level of play, so you have a lot of people kind of looking for a more sophisticated style, and that's why they're bringing the Del Piero out there.
Well, we'll see how that goes. But we have a lot more to talk about on the international stage, especially with World Cup qualifying, major number of matches tomorrow. We'll go over those with Dick Howard next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL, 92.1 FM and 1040 AM, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
This is Soccer Sam. You're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 1040 with the legendary Joe Seriani.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
The 2012 WPSL Elite Champion Western New York Flash would like to thank all of their fans at Rochester and the surrounding area for helping them to an unprecedented third straight women's soccer title this year. Be sure to visit the Flash website at www.wnyflash.com during the offseason for the latest news on the team and information about season tickets for 2013. The three-time women's soccer champion Western New York Flash. Experience the best.
Score big with Salins. Salins is proud to call Western New York home for over 140 years. Our premium quality deli meats and hot dogs are hometown favorites. Score big with your family and friends. Enjoy Salins' delicious real smokehouse ham or Salins' mouth-watering real turkey or chicken breast. Ask for Salins deli meats at your favorite meat or food store. The taste that beats them all. Salins.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Grayson of Grayson Chiropractic in Brighton with a message to fans and athletes. At Grayson, our focus is to evaluate, recommend, and treat pain and discomfort caused by strenuous training and competition. Emergencies are seen right away at Grayson, and we accept most insurance plans. When you're in pain and need care, call me, Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor, at 271-6080. We work hard to make you feel better.
The Rochester Lancers are back for another season of exciting MISL soccer this fall. The Lancers play their first home match Saturday, November 10th at the Blue Cross Arena against the Chicago Soul starting at 7 p.m. Get your tickets by visiting RochesterLancers.com or by calling 872-KICK. Purchase two Lancer premium season tickets in September and receive free pizza for a year from Salvatore's. Come support your Rochester Lancers all season at the Blue Cross Arena.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Now, on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, it's time for our international report with one of North America's top soccer journalists, a member of both the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame and the 1970 Rochester Lancers NASL Championship Team, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard.
And our international report with Dick Howard is brought to you this and every week by our title sponsor, Top Notch Monogramming in Pittsford, Northfield Commons. Go visit Tony and Michelle at Northfield Commons. Tell them Soccer is a Kick in the Grass sent you. 248-2650 or topnotchmonogramming.com. How you doing, Dick?
Good, Andrew. Still recovering my breath from the weekend.
Dick, congratulations on the victory by Canada. We were just talking about Canada during the break, saying that this could possibly be Canada's best recent chance to make the World Cup. What do you think?
It's true. You know, I think when you look at that performance, it was a must-win situation. Everybody knew that. But there was just that little bit of confidence that, you know, you don't often see in Canadian teams in recent memory anyway, and that little bit of a swagger. And certainly they will be put to the test tomorrow when they travel to Panama City, but I think the result was excellent. First half performance was great. They slipped a little bit in the second half and, of course, scored that remarkable goal with Atiba Hutchinson linking up with Dwayne Di Rosario for an unusual goal, let's put it this way, when, you know, the play was halted because of a foul and the Canadian team just took a quick kick and the ball was in the back of the net.
Yeah, the two players we saw here in Rochester playing against the Rhinos many years ago with the Toronto Lynx. So certainly Canada,
that's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, Canada is in a very difficult situation, though, in Panama. I managed to, through some tweets from Canadian soccer, they showed some video of the Panamanian fans gathered around the Canadian hotel at about 3 o'clock in the morning singing and chanting.
Yeah.
So this is certainly, the Panamanian press is pushing this as one of the biggest matches in their country's history, because they don't get a result, they probably kiss it goodbye.
What a great thing for soccer. It's interesting when you mention those things that are happening. You expect it when you go into Central America. You know, I've been down with teams as a player and as a coach, and you know that at 3 o'clock in the morning, there will be six motorcycles suddenly going around your hotel, and the police will take maybe an hour or two to stop the delinquents. And the fire alarm will maybe go to 5 o'clock in the morning, and everybody's woken up from that. So there's all manner of things that go on, and you say it's not just luck, it's certainly a way of upsetting the visiting teams, and the players expect that now. It's unfortunate, because when teams come to Canada, and I'm sure the same thing as the United States, they don't get that kind of treatment.
We're not as special as they are, though. That's the problem.
They get treated like kings.
Am I right, Dick?
Yeah, it's just a different mentality. But as you mentioned earlier, I think, Sam, it's such an important game for Panama that they cannot afford to lose again, because Honduras will certainly be wanting to get 3 points after losing that first game, you know, 2-0. So it will make things very interesting, and you've got to sort of put the edge to Panama at this stage of the game. But if Canada can come away with a point, that will be a tremendous result for them.
Especially that Canada still has to go to Honduras, and most likely Honduras will probably get a result tomorrow against Cuba, who have not won anything.
They will beat Cuba handily tomorrow, that's for sure.
So if Panama does beat Canada, Honduras wins, they would move into second place. Canada uh-huh. would be in third on goal difference. And then, who knows? I mean, this is going to come down right to the wire. It's going to be a battle between those three teams in Group C, and the top two go through. So it doesn't matter if you finish first or second, just get to the final hexagonal. And the U.S., I'm sure, is thinking the same thing. They need a result against Jamaica in order to solidify their chance to get in. I mean, likely we could be seeing Jamaica, Guatemala, U.S. with 7 points mm-hmm. each at the end of tomorrow, which would make things wild for the final yeah. two matches in October.
And Guatemala is not a poor team. A lot of people, they see the name, and if they're not familiar with international soccer, they don't realize that Guatemala is a very good team.
Just think of the name Carlos Ruiz, and that'll get some memories.
Escarito, the fisherman, yeah.
He's a tremendous player, and then, yeah. again, the U.S. got a point down there when they really shouldn't have got a victory. Actually, yeah. they outplayed Guatemala, but they gave up a late goal, and that that goal could be the difference in this group. So, I know the U.S. played very poorly against Jamaica. I was very surprised at that result. First victory ever.
Surprised me at all, Andrew, to be quite honest. I was down there in the qualifying rounds for the 1998 World Cup, when of course the Reggae Boys went to France, and they just started a marvelous run at that time, and Canada were beaten 1-0 in the National Stadium, which is called the Office, and very few teams come out of the Office with a good result. It's a very intimidating atmosphere. It's got a track, actually, where the future Usain Bolts sort of show their mettle every year in the National Schools Track and Field Championships. But they have the big speakers booming out the Bob Marley songs. They have a very passionate crowd, a very noisy crowd. Bumpy pitch. It's not a place where you're going to get a good result.
Absolutely. I actually visited the stadium myself when I went to Jamaica back in 1997.
See the statue of Bob Marley?
Yep, I was. There was a playing card, the Six of Spades, sitting on the ground underneath the Bob Marley statue. So I picked it up, and it's in our little memento chest.
You know, one thing we got to give Jamaica credit for is that out of all the games that I've seen them play, at least in the past 8 years, they played consistently. Especially after their first goal, towards the end of the game, a little different than the Jamaican teams of before, who seemed to collapse within the last 20 minutes of the game. This team.
And it's interesting that they've got a Jamaican coach. You know, Tapper Whitmore was a great player with the Jamaican team and played in the World Cup in France.
And what he's doing too.
He's now the coach.
And what Whitmore is doing too, he picked a majority of the players were from the MLS. Didn't pull a lot of foreign-based players. Didn't pick a lot of the players based in their kind of semi-pro league there. He went with the MLS players who are fit. They kind of know each other a little better. And I think they made a big difference.
They're strong, they're athletic, they're tremendous athletes, and they say they've got the organization and the fitness, and say that the 12th man is certainly very much in evidence. It's like Mexico, when we talk about Mexico and the Azteca, and how that is such an intimidating environment for teams to come into and get a result.
The only thing I like about Whitmore is
Jamaica is the same way.
He convinced that U.S. raised player to play for Jamaica. I'm trying to remember his name, one of the forwards for Jamaica. I believe he was born in Jamaica, but he was actually raised in the U.S., learned to play in the U.S., but he plays for Jamaica.
Well, that's it. It's going to be a great atmosphere. Crew Stadium is going to be 25,000 people there, very much a United States-backed crowd, and they're also going to be honoring some of the firefighters from New York City for September 11th, 2001. It's going to be a very emotional crowd, too, and I just see the U.S. blowing Jamaica off the pitch. I think it's going to be a big win for the U.S.
Well, Chirundolo and Bocanegra are back in the mix. I know Klinsmann announced that, and I think Chirundolo is going to be a little more of a solidifying. I know, Andrew, you think Bocanegra is a little bit up there, but like you said, with the pitch they're playing in Columbus, it'll be the U.S. should be able to pass the ball, hopefully better, if not more ably, than they did on Friday.
You would
put the money on the U.S. getting a convincing win, which they obviously desperately need. But you wonder whether the early Klimt Dempsey goal, whether that was a factor, but all in all, it's getting to be very interesting with the qualifying around the world. I know Joe is not too happy at the moment for whatever reason. I don't know.
It's very early though in Europe right now. I mean, they just started their qualifying on Friday, so long way to go.
Everything the scrutiny in Italy, and you know, as you know, soccer and soccer players and soccer in general is up for trial in Italy, especially. My favorite coach Conte is
there.
Del Piero is going to go to is no longer with Juventus. He's gone to Australia, and and the reality of the thing is that I was watching Saturday and Sunday some of the games that they broadcast over here on Rai, and I was amazed, Dick, at how many empty seats there were. You know, I can't believe that soccer is going to survive the way they're going, the way things are going in Europe.
So Serie B matches? It must have been.
Yeah, it was Serie B and Serie A too. But Serie A didn't broadcast it, so it was Serie B. The reality of things is that when you look at our friend Cristiano Ronaldo, that is very unhappy because now he has to pay taxes on his money.
Well, double taxes.
Double tax or triple taxes. Well, when he makes that amount of money and is unhappy, and when you look at all the money that they make, which I understand, there is a certain amount of their life where they can make money, but it's true with all sports people.
Yeah, but now with the amount of money Madrid makes, though, I mean, he's making, a lot of money for them, and I think he deserves the percentage he's due. What he wants to do, he wants to renegotiate his contract now before the new tax increase goes in effect in 2015, because his contract will be up by then, and then any contract he does there, he'll have to pay 50% in taxes of his salary. So he wants to renegotiate now to avoid it, and they're giving him a hard time, and I would be upset too if I was him.
You know what? If these players are smart, they go play in a country with very little taxes.
They go in Russia. Yeah.
What? No, they go to the Middle East. You don't get any tax at all in the Middle East.
That's what I'm saying. They're going to go to Qatar or play in Dubai or something. But
it all comes to you as a player or as a coach. You don't have to worry about any taxation with regards to the sport there, which attracts a lot of people.
Certainly does. Dick, I don't want to forget about the other group, which is pretty much set from one of the teams. Mexico, if they win in the Azteca against Costa Rica tomorrow, will clinch a spot in the final six. But really, it's going to be a battle between Costa Rica and El Salvador. And if El Salvador gets a win, they would go ahead of Costa Rica, and El Salvador will host Costa Rica in the next match. So that could be the deciding match for the tournament if that comes out that way. You just never know.
Yeah, there's some good games. But I'm pleased with knowing the coach of Guyana, Jamal Shamaz has done very well with regards to their performances in the tournament. And it's also great to see an Antigua Barbuda, competing and not getting blown out in their group at the present time. They're being competitive, which I think is a sign of the progress that's being made in the CFU.
Well, we're going to certainly be rooting for you. And our buddies from Barracuda FC will be playing for their national side tomorrow. They're hosting Guatemala. If they can steal a couple of points from Guatemala, that will certainly help the United States. It's going to be a very interesting day of soccer tomorrow. But
hey, Antigua could be spoilers, too. Remember when the U.S. played them that one friendly? Antigua didn't do that badly, if I recall.
No, they didn't. But looking at Dick, you mentioned Europe, really. There are not a lot of big-name matchups. Austria, Germany should be interesting just because they are neighbors. They played each other so many times in the past. I think the most interesting match may be England against Ukraine, because England is missing a lot of first-team players with John Terry being injured, Wayne Rooney out. Now Theo Walcott's not going to be playing. It's going to be a test. Ukraine certainly can come up with a result any given time.
Yeah, it certainly is. But you expect England at Wembley to get a result. But we all remember, of course, that very close game against Ukraine in Euro 2012. And it certainly will not be an easy game for England, but they will have a little bit of confidence, obviously, from their opening win on the road. But it's going to be a tough game against Ukraine, and I expect them to come through, but it is not easy. And again, I'm delighted that these smaller countries, you know, Liechtenstein, yes, they got beaten by Bosnia-Herzegovina 8-1, but, you know, Luxembourg, you know, 2-1 to Portugal. It really is good when you get the smaller nations that in the past were blown out 7-8, 9-0, trying to be competitive.
That's right. Especially at home, they're very competitive. And that one other match, I know there'll be a number of eyes watching them. We Belgium against Croatia. Belgium, of course, featuring Eden Hazard and Fellini from Everton, who made a lot of news this week, Dick, at saying that this would be his last year with the club, and he might want to move
Fellini,
elsewhere.
With the big
afro. That's how you recognize him. He's like the David Luiz and the competition between the best hair in all of English premiership.
Dick, on the local level, I'm sure that you know that Rochester Rhinos, you know, not bit the dust. You know, they got defeated at the last seconds. But then we had the woman team over here, 13,200 screaming fans.
I saw the game on TV. I thought it was great.
Yeah,
I was looking for the three of you, but I couldn't see in the crowd.
Andrew, you could have found them in the press box. We were scattered. I like to sit in the stands, I get.
I was a ball boy, honorary ball boy.
How'd you manage that?
I snuck on the floor.
No, it was a great atmosphere, and it's true when you see that. I'm sure there'll be one back who remembers these kinds of events with being the local girl. And certainly it's great for the game when you see a packed crowd watching, the top women's team in the world.
And, of course, the shock announcement of Pia Sundhage stepping down as U.S. coach. And that has really got the rumor mill flying that one of the names that's now been mentioned as a possible replacement is former Rochester Rhino, current coach of the Western New York Flash, Aaron Lyons.
And I can confirm that, too, because I just saw Western New York Flash Twitter that the Buffalo.com interviewed Aaron Lyons recently, and he expressed interest in pursuing the women's national team.
Paul Riley as well, the coaching position. Coach of the New York Fury, former coach of Philadelphia and the WPS. Mm-hmm. So, Dick, that's going to be a very interesting.
But it'll be tough to replace Pierre Sundhage. He's done such an excellent job, but certainly when you take over a team with the quality of players you have at your disposal, it's a great environment to be involved in.
And certainly with a lot of the youth players, and Aaron very experienced with the youth, and as with this year's Flash team, and the youth, the under-20s winning the World Cup in Japan, a tremendous result for them. I think U.S. women's soccer, I think, will be pretty well set for the next generation, and I'm looking forward to the 2015 World Cup up in Canada. I still wish that we could have matches in Toronto, but I know that the Pan Am Games will be taking precedence over that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? Dick, thanks for being with us as always, and we will review it all next week, and we'll talk. Sam's going to be at the game in Columbus tomorrow, so we'll get a first-hand report on what's going on.
It'll certainly be a great game to attend, and certainly it's a must-win situation for the U.S., and I'm sure they'll do the business, and we'll see if Canada can do the same when they travel to Panama.
I'm going to be the honorary linesman on each side where the U.S. is attacking.
Viva Juve.
Well, let's
have
just
fun.
Hope that
have fun,
I would
guys.
Love to see Canada and the U.S. in the hexagonal, Dick, because then we can
well,
match
be great.
In Toronto.
We'll keep our fingers crossed.
That'd be great.
Take care, guys. Bye
see
for
you
now.
Later, Dick. Bye-bye. Dick Howard, live from Toronto here on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. When we come back, we will be joined by the president and COO of the Rochester Rhinos, our good friend Pat Erkley, on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM at 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Hi, this is Bill Nojay. You're listening to Soccer. It's a Kick in the Grass.
Conservative. WYSL. You're listening to the new home of Salem Network News, 92.1 FM, 1040 AM, WYSL, Avon, Rochester. Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. National Team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda.
Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notch monogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Grayson of Grayson Chiropractic in Brighton with a message to fans and athletes. At Grayson, our focus is to evaluate, recommend, and treat pain and discomfort caused by strenuous training and competition. Emergencies are seen right away at Grayson, and we accept most insurance plans. When you're in pain and need care, call me, Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor, at 271-6080. We work hard to make you feel better.
The Rochester Lancers are back for another season of exciting MISL soccer this fall. The Lancers play their first home match Saturday, November 10th at the Blue Cross Arena against the Chicago Soul starting at 7 p.m. Get your tickets by visiting RochesterLancers.com or by calling 872-KICK. Purchase two Lancer premium season tickets in September and receive free pizza for a year from Salvatore's. Come support your Rochester Lancers all season at the Blue Cross Arena.
Are you ready to stop paying rent? You can't afford to build a new home. Why buy an existing house with someone else's problems when a new construction Faber home will be built to suit your style and your needs? On average, people purchasing an existing house spend an additional 10 to 15% above the purchase price in the first year, trying to make someone else's house feel like their home. Visit a Faber Homes model today at Berkshire Park in Henrietta, and coming soon, Regency Park in Greece. Give Faber Homes a call today at 359-4800 or visit FaberHomes.com for homes starting at $139,900. Faber Homes. Great homes, great price.
Doug Miller Family Sports Park is proud to be a sponsor of Soccer's A Kick in the Grass. Doug Miller Family Sports Park is home to Doug Miller Soccer, Rochester Ravens, Rochester Golf Academy, Glacier Ridge Snow Tubing, and Salvatore's. Check us out at DougMillerFamilySportsPark.com.
Score big with Salins. Salins is proud to call Western New York home for over 140 years. Our premium quality deli meats and hot dogs are hometown favorites. Score big with your family and friends. Enjoy Salins' delicious real smokehouse ham or Salins' mouth-watering real turkey or chicken breast. Ask for Salins deli meats at your favorite meat or food store. The taste that beats them all. Salins.
The Rochester Rhinos players, staff, and front office would like to thank all the fans for supporting them during the 2012 season at Salem Stadium and for the last 17 years. Rhinos season tickets for next year are now on sale and can be purchased by calling the Rhinos office at 454-KICK. Check out the Rhinos website at www.rhinosoccer.com during the offseason for the latest news and information about the team. The Rhinos will be back for another exciting year of soccer in 2013.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti here with Joe Redcard Sirianni and Sam Monjovi having a very interesting discussion about carpet bagging in the break. We'll leave it at that. And we're very happy now to be joined by the president and COO of the Rochester Rhinos, Pat Erkley. Pat's appearance brought to you by the Rhinos. You can get your 2013 season tickets by calling 454-KICK. Pat, thanks for being with us. How you doing?
Thanks, guys. How you doing?
Where are you, Pat? Are you home or what?
Actually, I'm in my car.
Oh, you're in your car.
Yeah.
I hope you don't get a ticket.
I'm not in my little Fiat.
No. I got Bluetooth on my Fiat.
And I wanted to see if you wanted to go to the national team game tomorrow night in your Fiat.
Why are you going?
I was invited to go, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to go.
Oh, yeah?
Well, Sam, our
Sam is going.
Joe's nephew Sam is with us. He's going. He's going as well. So going with Tony DiUto from Top Notch. So
we have
a big Rochester contingent.
I'm sorry.
When are they leaving?
10 a.m. tomorrow.
Maybe I'll give them a call then.
Okay, very good.
Hey, we need Rochester represented at that match, definitely.
Okay, right. Babe, let's talk. Let's talk about soccer, okay?
Yep.
Tell us really, your take on what happened with the Rhinos first. And I wrote a tweet, all the things that people are saying, because it kind of makes me angry. And then I just want to add my two cents to what you say.
Well, it's disappointing. But I think what happens is you have a coach that, this was his first year. And I think he did a good job of bringing in a lot of new players. They started off with a great success at the beginning of the year. Then, they flattened out a little bit. I think Brito leaving with an injury, and then Kissy not coming back to form because of his knee injury. He found himself really with some difficulties because we didn't have any strikers. And we were hoping, obviously, to see Kissy come back into form, and that never materialized. So by the time we got to the end of the season, we were there saying, okay, who's the best forward we could put in? McFadden ended up being, a player that was developmental, and all of a sudden he's our starter. Which, thank God. He scored a nice goal there in the semifinal game. So definitely an area that I think we were weak in because of, the injuries. So I think that's an area that we have to improve on. If we had a decent forward, I think, this year, we would have won the championship. You're looking at a game where we're winning 1-0 with 10 seconds to go. And, I've watched the game over and over again. There were some things that we did wrong at the end that certainly we could correct. But even when I counted off the time, the referee let the time go by 20 seconds. I went past the four-minute mark by 20 seconds. So, he saw a corner kick and he let it go when he should have called the game.
So can we assume that the signing of some new forwards is going to be of priority for next year?
Yeah, I think the priority is going to be obviously looking for some forwards. Maybe a holding midfielder that, can control. But, the league kind of dictates what type of players you need. Sometimes when you think you have a good, number 10, as you want to call it, in this league, the number 10 has to be a little physical. So I think that plays a part in it, too. And that's pretty much throughout the world. The type of league that you play in dictates the type of players that you need. So that's, I think, something that we would probably want to look for. Someone solid in the midfield and two good forwards.
So it sounds like instead of a Zamudio return, we're going to be looking for maybe a Steenkamp or a Yari Alnut kind of midfielder.
Exactly. Yari wasn't very technical in a sense. He was more direct, but, he was somebody that was physical and somebody that scored goals for you.
On the defensive side, Pat, we had Troy Roberts won the Defensive Player of the Year, and Christian Nietzsche won the Goalkeeper of the Year. Certainly in the back, we seemed like we were very strong, and J.C. Banks, of course, going down with an injury at the end of the year didn't help. He was also a first-team USL Pro selection, and, we certainly missed him in the final matches as well.
But the thing is that we lost the game on penalties, and that's one of the things that I want to talk about it. The selection that they made. Why did they select the goalie to shoot?
They trained every day on penalty shots for about 3 or 4 weeks, I think. So they were doing those penalty shots all the time. Based upon who was available at the end there and who had confidence in wanting to take a penalty shot, that's how he based his decision. I think, again, when you start looking at the players that weren't available, there were certainly better players. Cam was obviously played during the game, so he was out. You look at even Lucas as a player that could be a solid penalty shot taker. He was out because he had come out already. So that sometimes tends to happen. You don't expect to go to penalty shots. You want to win the game outright. I think we had it. I think when you look at giving up a goal in the last 10 seconds, you know, that game should have been ours. I mean, I think when you look at the overall game, the game plan was good because, you know, we were in the game and we obviously scored a goal to go ahead. You know, once we made some substitutions, I think maybe that may have been something that could have been different based upon, again, the availability. We wanted the players that we had. Connor Ching is somebody that didn't play all season long, and we had to put him in the final towards the end. Sometimes when you have those types of players that haven't played a lot, they're going in the game with the intention of, hey, you know what, I got to go in and play and get a goal and stuff, rather than thinking, how are we going to win this game and how are we going to waste time at the end? Because really, there were two times where we could have gone into the corner and we would have wasted the game. We would have iced it.
Definitely.
And we were talking about it, too, and don't mean to pick any players, but we didn't mention Chin. Could tell when he went out on the field, he was very excited, which I would be, too, you know, and a couple of times he had the ball going down the end line and kind of crossing it in and not holding the ball enough to waste some of that time.
Yeah, he could have gone into the corner two times during that last 4 minutes. And, you know, we had a throw in there at the end, too, where we threw it out the end line and they got the goal kick. Even if we didn't throw that in and we threw it in on at somebody's foot, that would have been 10 seconds. So, yeah, things happen for a reason. I guess it wasn't meant to be. But, you know, I don't believe that we had the strength in our forward. But still, you know, you win that game, now you're in the final and you're playing it at home. To me, that's the biggest disappointment, is that we had the opportunity to be at home in front of our fans for another final, and it didn't happen.
Pat, there's been already a lot of talk by the fans and the boards and whatever about about next year. First thing I want to ask you, there was one mention that Bill Sedgwick is not going to be coming back. He's going to be going back to Montreal to participate in youth soccer, running youth soccer opportunities. Is that true or is that not true?
No, it's true, but the reason that he's going back is because his landed immigrancy, it's like a green card. In order for him to get his landed immigrancy in Canada, you're only allowed to leave the country for a certain amount of time, and then you have to report back in the country for 6 months. So they extended him the opportunity to be with us this past season, but now he's got to report back there to get his landed immigrancy from Canada, because he's a U.S.-born citizen.
Okay. So, Pat, tell us a little bit. I know that you know, the season's over. Now we work toward next season. And because there is so much being said all around, people that they say they're not going to renew their season ticket and all that kind of stuff, but they're looking at everything with the microscope, and sometimes they look at the obvious instead of looking what is important. What are the plans? What are your plans? You call the shots. What are the plans
for
the future?
You know, I think it's very similar. Like, you know, for instance, this U.S. Olympic women's team wins the gold and comes to Rochester. You know, if I would have told you a month before that we had that game, you wouldn't necessarily think that it would sell out, you know, or based on the amount of cost on the ticket. You might tell me, oh, it's not going to sell out. So there's things that are happening within our league that I think when they happen, you know, everybody's going to be excited. At this point, I'm not at liberty to say because they're not 100% yet, but there's some things that are going on with our league and MLS and soccer in general in our country that's going to be a positive for our organization. So I think once those things happen, it'll be compared to the national team game, because once we accomplish that, you know, it's a great event and everybody had fun with it. I think that could be the same thing for our future as well.
Very interesting.
Yeah, you don't have to say anything, Pat, but I just want to say if I was, hoping on a shooting star that we would be involved in some kind of MLS 2 arrangement, which would give us the availability to be kind of part of that entity itself. And maybe in the future, being MLS can be that Green Bay of the MLS like we tried to be before.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's not going to be, I'll be honest with you, it won't be us playing in MLS. It may be in the long term, but in the onset, there'll be a relationship between the two organizations.
They're very interesting. I know a lot of people. Sorry, Joe. A lot of people have been talking back and forth about the pros and cons of going to the NASL, and a lot of people say they want it because of better players. Which, and then the counter argument is it would probably bankrupt the team because of the higher costs. And I particularly believe the latter of the two. I think it, from a business standpoint, it doesn't make any sense. But you know, everybody is entitled to their opinion.
Yeah, but I mean, okay. But if you look at the team, three of our teams made it to the semifinals or quarterfinals of the U.S. Open Cup. None of the NASL teams made it.
Right.
So when people
exactly.
say they have better players, I don't know who they're talking about.
I don't know either, but I know that Charlotte knocked San Antonio out of the Open Cup, and San Antonio is the best team in the NASL, and Charlotte didn't even make the USL playoffs. So
there you go. That's my point.
Yeah, let me ask you really quick about the USL with the Phoenix being added next year. Is that just going to be like an addition to your West Coast trip there to be play LA and Phoenix?
Yeah, there'll be Phoenix, and I think there's still we have a board of directors meeting coming up this week, which is kind of it doesn't necessarily happen this quick. So that's why I say there's some things that are happening on the horizon that could change. In regards to the teams that are in our league or players for that matter. So that's why, you know, I'm saying, you know, I want to wait to see what's being discussed, but there's a lot of rumors flying around that that look like things that could benefit both us and our league.
Well, Pat, we'll certainly be watching with a close scrutiny, and we'll probably be asking you to come back on again real soon to talk about that. But thanks again for being on the show tonight, and hope we can get up to down to Columbus for the match tomorrow.
Yeah, let me know. So, Sam, you're going, you said?
Yeah, we're going tomorrow, leaving at 10 a.m., tailgating,
okay,
and then watching
the game. Call me after the show, then.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thanks a lot, Pat. Pat Erkley here on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. And at this point, we're going to wrap up the show, and we'll take care of our sponsors immediately following. We want to thank Pat for being on the show, along with Dick Howard, of course, live from Toronto. And this has been Andrew Battisti with Joe Sirianni, Sam Mongiovi, and Bob D'Angelo down at WYSL. We'll be back next Monday at 6:30 for Soccer is the Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM at 10:40 a.m. and live on the web at socceristhekickinthegrass.com. Thanks very much, everyone. Have a good night.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Top Notch Monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, the Rochester Lancers, and Western New York Flash, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Salen's Meat Products, Faber Homes, Dr. Frank Grayson Chiropractor, New Way Auto Parts, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. Tune in again next week for Soccer. Is a Kick in the Grass.
Top Notch Monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top Notch Monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top Notch Monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top Notch Monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA Wear.
TopNotchMonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top Notch Monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
New Way Auto Parts, your locally owned and operated full-service auto parts store, has serviced Rochester area consumers for over 50 years. New Way stocks a full line of AC Delco and Motorcraft parts, along with Wix filters, Monroe shocks and struts, Walker exhausts, and Timken bearings. Six locations in the Rochester area, including in the city, Irondequoit, Greece, Gates, Henrietta, and Farmington. Go to HahnAuto.com or the Frontier pages for more information, addresses, and phone numbers. That's HahnAuto.com for New Way Auto Parts.
There's a car accident in this country every 5 seconds. That's why Allstate thinks it's time for an entirely different kind of car insurance, with features like accident forgiveness and a safe driving bonus. It's called Your Choice Auto, and it's only from Allstate. Are you in good hands?
Call Fairport Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo today at 244-2130. Features are optional and subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
The Rochester Lancers are back for another season of exciting MISL soccer this fall. The Lancers play their first home match Saturday, November 10th at the Blue Cross Arena against the Chicago Soul starting at 7 p.m. Get your tickets by visiting RochesterLancers.com or by calling 872-KICK. Purchase two Lancer Premium Season tickets in September and receive free pizza for a year from Salvatore's. Come support your Rochester Lancers all season at the Blue Cross Arena.
Caring for your teeth is a key factor in promoting good health. Joe and Andrew highly recommend Dr. David Olivo and his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue for all your dental needs. Dr. Olivo and his experienced staff provide a wide array of dental services and procedures in a comfortable and caring atmosphere. New patients are always welcome. Visit Dr. Olivo's interactive website at davidolivodmd.com or call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.